Well, thanks, Mike. You know, God began to speak to us a few years ago about making it very practical, and that Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. And sometimes we try to spiritualize that, and there is a relationship to the poor and the poor in the spirit, but the poor are the vulnerable, and they're most open to the gospel and their great need for love. And so the Lord's opened lots of doors for us, and this is another one of those doors. And I believe with all my heart that the Scripture says to give to the poor, to bless the poor, is to lend to the Lord. And God doesn't always give back. It's not about money, but God always blesses. There's an anointing and a blessing and a favor that comes from ministering to the poor that I still don't think we've conceived of. And so it's an opportunity to minister to these. And we believe what the Scripture tells us, that to do it to the least of one of these is to do it to Him. You know, to reach out to these children who are desperate, and is to reach out to Christ, is to touch Him and to spend a couple hours with Jesus. And just like if you go to the nursing home or anywhere where you're ministering to the suffering and the poor and the poor in spirit. So, thanks. Great job, Luke. Awesome songs, man. Where is you? Where is you, Luke? Oh, there he is. If you keep noticing I'm doing this, it's not because I've got this, like, tick, you know? It's because of this. They're broken. And so they keep coming off. These were my glasses I bought in Kenya for $200 to save me money that ended up costing me $900 that still don't work. And so if it's irritating, trust me, if I don't do this, I'll just get all curled up and fall off. If you'll turn your Bibles to Psalm 27. I'm not going to share this word from really a prophetic place, so I believe it has a real connection. I believe that we're coming into a season, and I know this may not make a lot of sense to you, but beginning in August the 29th, we're going to come into a season where this psalm is going to be so important to the body of Christ. And so, I guess in that sense, a prophetic word, it's just a pastoral word, but it's a word that's going to be important for all of us in the days to come. And so it's good for you to give ears to hear what the Lord's trying to say. I'm just read some verses to you. I'm not going to try to teach or preach from the whole psalm, but just see a few things. This is really meant to be a devotional word, though. I guess it does have some prophetic element to it. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" And we're moving into a time, if it already hasn't happened to you, where it's going to be really easy to get afraid. And so it's really important that we have the strategy of God so that we don't give in to fear. Almost everything you see on the news is, even those who mean well, the enemy's using to pull you into fear. "The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries, my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear." Now understand this word heart here, because it's going to be really important. "My heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident." Verse 4. "One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple," to contemplate or to inquire in His temple. "For in the day of trouble He will conceal me in His tabernacle," or holy place, holy of holies, inner place. "In the secret place of His tent He will hide me." And the secret place again is the holy of holies. "He will lift me up on a rock, and now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in His tent," that place, the holy of holies, "I'll offer in the holy of holies sacrifices of shouts of joy. And I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. It says in verse 5, for in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. Now he doesn't say, if there happens to be days of trouble. But instead he says, for in the day of trouble. I don't know if you've come to grips with this yet, but how many believe that there are days of trouble? Now, not just talking about the days that we are moving into and then days of trouble are going to increase, but we all know, we've all experienced days of trouble, haven't we? Ephesians chapter 6 talks about standing in the evil day. And that's not talking about the clash of the kingdoms at the end of the age. There are just some days that are more evil than others. Amen? How many of you know that? I mean, how many of you know that some, this seems like you're just walking in the Lord and the joy of the Lord's overtaken you? And then you wake up the next day and the whole world just turned dark. Just days of trouble. Evil days. And it can be for lots of different reasons. Just our diseased emotions. Just one wrong word. Just one little thing. And then it's just like we find ourselves in the midst of a battle. The interesting thing he talks about here, he talks about heart. He says, my heart won't fear. And then down in verse 6, he talks about, and now my head will be lifted up. And it's all about heart and head. See, I can't, let me put it this way. The head is the target. And the goal is the heart. And therefore, the heart's got to be the stronger place than your head. The fiery darts of the enemy are always directed at your head. Always directed at our thought life. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind is a daily process. And there are days of trouble, and the days of trouble are going to increase around us. It's just the way it is. It says in Isaiah that as we speed towards the last days, that the darkness is going to get darker, but the light is going to get brighter. Now, one of the things that darkness does is contrast light. So, of course, as the darkness gets darker, the light is going to get brighter. But the darkness is going to get darker. America isn't our hope. You need to understand that there's a favor of God on this country. And we cry out for revival in this country. But there have been other great countries in this world in history. And nations are like things. They eventually crumble. And if Jesus waits long enough to come back, this nation is not our hope. Our hope is in Jesus. Our security is in Christ. We pray for this country, and I thank God for this country. But I'm waving a banner, not a flag, because that's my hope. So there are days of trouble. Understand again, the head's the target because he wants your head to overwhelm your heart. So that we live in fear. Now notice what he says here in verse 4. One thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now David isn't saying, Lord, this is my request. I want to go pull up a chair in the temple. And I want to sit in the Holy of Holies. And that's where I want to stay the rest of my life. That would be a pretty irresponsible request. I mean, he had family. He had responsibilities. He's talking about a spirituality. He's saying again, one thing I've asked from the Lord that I may seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Now, for David, because the temple was the place where the glory of God, where the presence of God was manifested, he is saying, Lord, the thing I ask is that I will get to spend more and more time where your presence is manifested. That's the thing I desire more than anything else. And so for him, that place was in the temple. Lord, my desire is to be in an environment all the days of my life where your presence is manifested so that I can behold the beauty of the Lord. or the glory of the Lord, or the presence of the Lord, and inquire of you in that place. For, he says, I desire that, because now David lived with a lot of trouble himself. If you go back and you read the story of his life, the conflict and things that he went through were constant. And so he says, this is my desire, the one thing I've asked, the one thing I'm going to seek, is that I'll live in the environment of the presence of God, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire of Him. For, this is the reason, for in the day of trouble, He will conceal me in His holy of holies. And in the secret place of His tent, He will hide me. And He will lift me up on a rock when everything around me feels like sinking sand and shifting sand. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies. Now what David is asking for, Lord, that I would be one of the hidden ones. He uses the word, verse 5, conceal me in the Holy of Holies. Lord, conceal me. I desire You and I desire to seek You above everything else so I can behold Your beauty so that in the day of trouble I'm concealed in the environment of Your beauty and Your glory and Your presence. So that I'm hidden in that secret place of the Holy of Holies. I'm hidden in the secret place of Your glory and presence where I'm beholding Your beauty. Now, I've had the privilege, not as much as some or many, but I've had the privilege in the last 15 years to travel a lot around the world and have seen some remarkable things. Some of you have traveled together with me. There's a little hotel in Latoykatuk and in Africa, in Kenya, where you walk in a little back patio and you can just see the crest of Kilimanjaro. It's just an amazing thing, the snow-capped mountain of Kilimanjaro. And probably the most beautiful things I've ever seen have been in Africa or in Hawaii. It's like when you drive through in Hawaii, every like turn you take, there would just be this vista that take your breath away. There are beautiful places in this state. Places and things that just are mesmerizing. I know there's like a channel on TV, like if you turn it on, I don't even know what it is, but it'll have like a sunset, continual sunset, or the ocean, you know, roaring of the ocean, that kind of thing. Because the idea is to draw you into a place where you're beholding beauty. Because it alters everything. It alters your perspective of everything. You know, everything around you in your world can be kind of upside down, and then suddenly you get put in a place where you're shocked with something so beautiful it's breathtaking. Suddenly, the conversation in your heart and head changes. The environment of your emotions and mindset alters because you're caught up in the beauty of the thing that you're looking at. It's overwhelming and consuming. So here's what you got to hear. Our protection in the day of trouble is the beauty of the Lord. It's hard to get distracted when you're consumed with the beauty of God. And can you imagine, think about it beyond like looking at somebody's like face, but think of all the vistas that God has created. I was thinking this morning, I had a chance to, Foster was visiting, talking in his crib, and so I went and got him, and we got to share a few smelly moments, and he thought that was the coolest thing in the world. But before I went into his room and just sat in the chair and sang all. I don't really know a few songs. I sang them all to my kids. You know, He shall feed His flock like a you know all those little songs you sing. And I remembered a song that I used to sing to kids, and you've heard those of you who've been around long enough. You know, apple red happiness, pop. Corn cheerfulness, cinnamon singing inside, gumdrop holiday, peppermint energy. When you give Christ your life, boom, boom, boom. See, Arcella's singing it with me because she remembers me singing it to her when she was little. But when I was holding him and I was looking at him, I thought, God, what a remarkable thing. How beautiful, not just because he's my grandson, just how beautiful a child is, an infant is. Just amazing how beautiful he is. and just the human being. And then I thought, this came out of the heart of God. This is part of His creativity. We're His workmanship. It came from the brush, you know, of our Rembrandt. It came from the brush of this extraordinary artist. You know, Foster just wasn't something thought of. It came out of the thought of God. It's the vision of His head. It's what He sees and is. And all those vistas, Kilimanjaro and the waterfalls in Hawaii, and wherever you've been out in the world, you know, the Alps or the Rocky Mountains or the Smoky Mountains, how beautiful those things are. Beautiful rivers and lakes and oceans, whatever it is, your favorite thing, snow. And all those came out of Him. They all existed in Him. Those are things that He thinks and sees and is and part of His being. They're all intended, according to Romans, to glorify Him. Nature is intended to glorify Him because it points at His character and who He is. How great He is, how magnificent He is, how creative He is. The wonder of who God is. So to gaze on Him, how beautiful is Jesus? His character and the goodness of God and the love of God and the grace of God and the majesty and the wisdom and the righteousness, all those things, how extraordinarily beautiful is He? Well, you'll see all those things that you love in Him. They may not look like a waterfall, but you'll see the origin of the thought of waterfall in Him and the hues of colors. That's just who He is. When my recent trip to the Carolinas, I haven't even told this story yet. I was on the phone with Olivia talking about Wood and his job opportunity. And I just said something to her. I said, Olivia, I just believe he's going to get the job. And as soon as I did, much like those of you who were with me in Tanzania, a rainbow came across the sky immediately, from one end to the horizon to the other. God's way of saying promise, covenant. And I said, Lord said, it's his job. It's for him. And he spoke through colors. Do you understand? God spoke through colors. You and I use words, but God speaks through colors and sights and sounds and that's what makes heaven's going to be so extraordinary. Because our discovery of the beauty of the Lord is going to be an eternal one. And we'll wake up. We don't wake up. We'll approach every day. Whatever it's going to look like is going to be like this sense. We'll never get over the sense of wonder. The extraordinary wonder of the beauty of God. And it's the beauty of Christ that is our protection. Now, if Gary turns it so it's hotter, shoot him. There you go. Thank you. There, we've put an end to that forever. There you go. We appreciate that. There you go. Thank you. That's right. I'm concerned about her too. And so he says here, in chapter 27, to behold the beauty of the Lord. It can be translated delightfulness of the Lord and to inquire of Him. Again, what is He saying to us? Be there when the day of trouble comes. How many times have you heard me say over the years, when the crisis hits, don't find yourself trying to scramble back into God's presence. Be there. Seek the Lord. Make that your one thing you ask for more than anything else. Be the Mary. For it says she's chosen the good part. Whatever that looks like for you, make that your one thing. What is it that you pray for more than anything else? What is it you long for more than anything else? That break financially or that situation or the house or this? Or those are all good things. But they got to start with number two and then down your list. Number one must be the one thing I ask and seek. That I would dwell in the house of the Lord. That I'll spend time in His presence. And I'll seek Him and behold His beauty. So that when I walk out of that place, I'm living in the secret place of His presence. I'm living and hiding in the Holy of Holies. Because see, you take it with you. You are the Holy of Holies. You are the temple of the Lord. So in the day of trouble, the beauty of the Lord is more consuming than the ugliness of the circumstance and the situation around you. That's our protection. See, in the Song of Solomon, early in the Song of Solomon, all we hear, like in verse 15 of chapter 1, how beautiful you are, my darling, how beautiful you are. And then over and over again, there's just expressions to the bride of Christ and how beautiful she is. There's this one statement by her, how handsome you are, my beloved, and so pleasant. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. In his shade I took great delight and sat down, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. But over and over again, the early part of the Song of Solomon, the Lord is overwhelming the bride with how beautiful she is to him, convincing her of his love, bringing her into a place of safety and security and his great love for her. But as you drift farther in the Song of Solomon relationship, chapter 4, he says to her again, how beautiful you are, my darling, how beautiful you are. But in chapter 5, as the bride grows, suddenly she gets caught up in his beauty. As she's grown secure in his love for her, suddenly she becomes stunned. My beloved is dazzling and ruddy, outstanding among 10,000. He is wholly desirable. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. You see, what happens is we get in the presence of the Lord, we make that our one thing, our one priority. Making money, getting your education, getting a wife or a husband, that can't be your one thing. You'll leave yourself so vulnerable in the day of trouble if anything else is your one thing other than dwelling in His presence and beholding His beauty. Because when the day of trouble comes, it's His beauty that's going to be your protection. Your heart will overwhelm your head instead of your head overwhelming your heart. Because your head will be lifted up in the Spirit, beholding the beauty of the Lord that you've cultivated, and you're walking in the harvest of the beauty of Jesus. And therefore you're living in the midst of a field of the beauty of Christ. You're living in an environment. You're living in the Holy of Holies as you move about in the day of trouble. And that becomes your protection. And though your head may be picking up all the signals, your heart will not fear. Your head is lifted up. And you find that you're standing on a rock. And that rock is Jesus. And no matter how much trouble that day of trouble is, the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of Jesus, has hidden you away into a secret place where the winds are blowing and howling around you. What's consuming your vision is the beauty of Jesus. That's your protection. That's your safety. You hear me? And I'm telling you, I'm telling you. This is a very important chapter for the body of Christ in the days to come. On the 29th of this month, Jews all over the world will celebrate that Moses came down from the mountain the third time he had been there, and he brought the laws with him for the second time. They had been sounding the shofar throughout the last 40 days to remind themselves to not stray again and to celebrate the fact that they had been fully forgiven and restored to their place in the presence of God. And on the 29th, when they celebrate Moses coming down that third time and they knowing things were well, because God was with them again. And God had embraced them and forgiven them. Jews all over the world will read Psalm 27. Celebrate the fact that in the time of trouble, if we've made the beauty of God our priority, He will conceal me in the Holy of Holies and hide me away in the secret place of His heart. It's the only safe place for us to be. We're going to enter into a season, a time of trouble, but let not your heart be troubled. You say, well, Bishop, what do we do? Have a one thing game plan. This one thing I ask and I will seek, that I will cultivate a harvest of the glory of God. I will cultivate a life where the environment I live in is the Holy of Holies, so that I'm surrounded by the beauty of Jesus, and that no matter how much is going on around me, it won't distract me from the reality of the beauty of Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.